let folks know if you've got a child or a grown-up who's making a lot of noise, that's fine. We have no problem with that. This is about a newborn who makes noise. But if you want to be able to hear the service and have others not hear the child, the sound is on both in the lobby and in the fellowship hall this evening. So let you know that. We are here to gather in worship, so let us begin by singing. Rise in body or spirit, O come, all ye faithful. Do remain standing. We're going to sing again in a moment, but I'm going to light our chalice, the symbol of our living tradition, a tradition of heresy and questioning and justice and love, a tradition of hope when things are difficult, of comfort for those in need. We light a chalice, a light in the darkness, to show us a way forward. I'll light the chalice and we'll begin to sing Joy to the World.
Thank you.
may be seated. We are gathered to worship this evening. We gather in this hall where people have come week after week to seek answers and questions, comfort in times of sorrow, and company in times of celebration. This place of glass and concrete and wood. This night, millions, indeed billions, gather all over the world for the same purpose, to tell old stories, to wonder, to sing, to hope. We gather in the spirit of worship, the spirit of peace and love, which has not yet won the day. We know too well. Yet we long for that world. We come to remind ourselves the sacredness of human life, each and every, to tell the old story and remember what remains true in every place and every time, that every life matters, that hope and peace and love are worth everything, and thus to dedicate our lives. Let us worship together. We begin with the telling of the ancient story. This from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinus was the governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph went also from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. I invite you to join me in the responsive reading this evening, which is printed in your program. These are the words of Sophia Lyon Foss, Unitarian minister and educator, "For so the children come." I'll read the part in regular type and you the part in italics. "For so the children come, and so they have been coming.
Always in the same way they come, born of the seed of man and woman.
No angels herald their beginnings, no prophets predict their future courses.
No wise men see a star to show where to find the babe that will save humankind.
Yet each night a child is born is a holy night. They ask, where and how will this new life end, or will it ever end?
Each night a child is born is a holy night, a time for singing, a time for wondering, a time for worship.
So I want to tell you a story tonight. This is a story that I sort of heard through the grapevine, one of those stories that I want to tell you about. One of the characters in this story of birth and searching that maybe you haven't heard of before. This is the story of the innkeeper's daughter. How many of you know the story of the innkeeper's daughter? Of course you don't, because I wrote this story, so this is new. So here's the story of the innkeeper's daughter. I'm sure it's exactly what happened. The innkeeper in Bethlehem was a kindly man. He was a nice guy, welcoming, warm, and friendly. If he had room, he would have given them a space in a heartbeat. He wouldn't have even charged them full rate if they didn't have it. He would have been happy to give it, but all the rooms were taken. He couldn't kick somebody out of a room they'd already paid for and moved into for the night. So there are Joseph and Mary, standing outside in the courtyard, wondering what to do. And she says, "I'm tired. We've been traveling. I'm 9.5 months pregnant. I'm tired." Joseph doesn't know what to do. Well, the little girl, the innkeeper's daughter, comes out the door. She's maybe 8 or so, something like that. Small for her age, though, and inquisitive. Think Harriet the Spy in robes. She knows everything that's going on in the town. She loves to find things out and see what's happening. So she comes up to them and she says, "Come this way. I'll show you a place." And they follow her. They don't know what else to do. And she takes them around back to the barn. And she says, "See, it's warm here. All the animals, sometimes I sleep here when I'm getting agitated or upset or I can't sleep. Sometimes I come here and the breathing of the animals in and out, it helps me relax and it's warm and soft and see, it's not bad." And they thank her profusely for finding them a place to stay. She gets them settled in and she goes to the well and pulls up some fresh water to bring them. And just as she suspected that they might, Mary's contractions begin. And they start coming pretty fast. She's young. This isn't going to take long. So the innkeeper's daughter runs for the town midwife. She knows where she lives, what she does. She runs to get her. "The traveler's having a baby. Come quick." And they run. And the innkeeper's daughter stands outside. She doesn't want to crowd the small space. And while the midwife is there, and eventually there's a baby crying, wailing, but just for a moment, and then still. And the midwife comes out and says, "It's okay, you can come in." And the innkeeper's daughter goes in. Mary says, "Shh." The baby is wrapped up in blankets, peaceful and quiet. And it's late. The birth was quick, but not that quick. And the innkeeper's daughter is up way past her bedtime. And so she goes to bed. And she sleeps. And she misses all that happens next. The shepherds come and they tell this story about the angels. She's asleep. The wise men come from the east and they bring all these gifts. She's asleep, doesn't catch any of it. She wakes up in the morning and she says to her dad, the innkeeper, It was amazing. It was holy, sacred. She hasn't seen any of the hubbub. She saw the baby. That was enough. She goes around town and tells all the other kids, "There's a baby in the barn." And they all come and they look through the slats in the wood to see the baby there. And Mary says, "It's okay, you can come in." And they see the baby. "It's holy," she says. She doesn't know the story. A few weeks go by and the family departs for their next destination back to Nazareth. Before they go, the little girl comes in and Mary says, "Do you want to hold the baby?" And she gets to hold the little baby for a moment. They thank the innkeeper's daughter for helping them to find a place. The room in the inn did open up the next night, and the innkeeper's daughter said, "It's okay, you could come into the inn," but they stayed there in the barn with the animals. The little girl didn't quite understand why they did that, but the parents said it was something about what happened that night that was really special, and she understood that. She didn't know what they meant, or maybe she did. But the little girl, the innkeeper's daughter, went on with her life, never forgetting that marvelous night. She actually became a midwife herself. So impressed she was by the skill that was happening there and the wonder of that moment. She trained and apprenticed and watched, and then she began to do it. And she delivered hundreds and hundreds of babies in Bethlehem. Every night, a holy night. And she was kind to children and to animals, having slept with them and shared their barn for a while. She loved animals of all kinds. When she was very old, she heard a story that some people were saying that a Savior had been born in Bethlehem years ago and had died and risen from the dead and now lived with God and had preached forgiveness for sins and love to all people. All these stories she was hearing, she wondered if it was one of the hundreds of children she had helped deliver. Which one, she thought, for all the children in the last many decades, she thought it had been her. If so, which one of all of them? Maybe, she thought, it was all of them. In 1914, Theodore Williams wrote some words for a song. He said, "Though in David's city angels sing no more, love makes angel music on earth's darkest shore. Though the child in his manger may no longer lie, love is king forever." The innkeeper's daughter never heard the angels or the shepherds tell the story. She never saw the magicians arrive or depart. But love was her dwelling place for all her life. We need not see with our own eyes, and we need not even believe what we hear. It matters little, truly, what theology we hold about the newborn babe. Is love your dwelling place? Is joy in your song? Is peace in your heart? She missed the drama, our child did, but she caught the meaning precisely. She knew already, before they even arrived, what it meant to prepare them room. Now, the choir to share with us In the Lonely Midnight, words by Theodore Williams.
Yeah. This is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all of the people. For you, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on earth, and goodwill to all."
Let's sing together. I invite you to rise in body or spirit. Angels We Have Heard on High. Be seated. Mary and Joseph in the story are searching for a place to stay. The innkeeper's daughter, in her kindness, finds them a spot, but it is not really a home. Likewise, across this city and across this country and across the globe, people search each night for a place to stay, a home. And so it is our habit and our custom here this night to collect an offering for the work of Shelter Care Ministries here in Rockford, who help folks stabilize their lives and find a place to live. Your generosity is greatly appreciated.
This is from Luke chapter 2, verses 15 to 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
One modern reading to share with you this evening, a poem by Kathy Downs entitled La Posada. For those who don't know, the La Posada tradition in Mexico and in other places in the world is one in which folks reenact the story. They dress as Mary and Joseph and they knock on doors and people deny them entry as part of the ritual. And then there's a procession that goes along. It happens over multiple nights until finally we come to Christmas Eve. La Posada. If I don the dress, I will be Mary, great witch child. My want will be upon me. Waddle will I a bit, swaying from porch to path, my two selves denied entrance. Holy and profane, I will come to you, asking for succor, crying piteously as in olden days. It is scripted that you remain indoors. My face will hang in your porch light. Your feet will approach the door. You will see me through the peeping hole, my face, and yet will back away. Cars will move down the street where it has rained, red and yellow lights reflecting. They will go quietly like owls in evening, their tires invisible and silent in darkness. My feet will touch the pavement. I will stay earthbound. But pacing the roads, my body will become complete where the pains touch me here and here. It will be spirit knocking. I will imagine doors that do not close, a car slowing, a welcoming voice that utters these syllables, come in. We Unitarian Universalists have a set of seven principles. It's not a creed, we don't do that kind of thing. They're more general statements of what we value, and the fourth one is the free and responsible search for truth and meaning. The search for truth and meaning. We like searching. We like questions and discovery and creativity. We like investigation. Seeking, searching, looking for something. The characters in our story are all searching for something, aren't they? Joseph and Mary are looking for a place to stay most immediately. Depending on which versions of this legend you consult, they are seeking some answers too, some confirmation of a pretty amazing prophecy. They're wondering what this all means. What this life means, what this moment means, what there will be because of this. The shepherds seek the child, having been told by the angels to look for him. They come to discover this, the babe that will lead us, save us from the Romans, from death, from pain, from what exactly? They come seeking and wondering. The wise men come from afar as well. They have wandered a ways. They come to find the king, but find a babe. They've traveled far, wandering through deserts with a star to guide them. Herod seeks too, but he does not find the baby. But in his fear, as one version of the story puts it, he slaughters the innocents in his futile quest to control history. I will tell you that I much prefer the Gospel of Luke to all the others, despite me being named after one of the others. Luke is my preference by far. Luke has the angels tell the shepherds, because he wants the reader to know that God loves everyone, that God speaks in unexpected places, that yes, a carpenter's son, a child from an out-of-the-way corner of the empire. That child is the prophet of peace and the incarnation of love. There's lots of seeking going on in this story, and I wonder, what does God seek? What is it that God is seeking in this story? Forget the theological questions, which are many, for just a moment. What might God be seeking? Perhaps it is what Luke is trying to tell the reader. I love everyone. Here's a messenger of that love, but it isn't who you would expect. And of course, we who hear this story now, seek to understand it, to bring the spirit of love into our lives. We have plenty of academic and intellectual questions. Did it really happen this way? Almost certainly not. Who was this Jesus person? We know very little for sure. Did this happen in December, exactly 2014 years ago? Unlikely. But these things are not the point, friends. Stories have power, which an excessive literalism can destroy. Instead of interrogating the story, wonder about it. Bracket all those questions for another time. Seek meaning, not facts. Seek presence, not definitions. Wonder as you wander through this story. In Kathy Downs's beautiful poem, the narrator plays the part of Mary in La Posada, a rainy night, ritually knocking on doors to seek a place to stay, turned away as the story requires. The innkeeper would give them room if he had any. He really would. But they're seeking. It is not her that knocks on the door of a house, but the spirit that knocks on the door of her soul. A welcoming voice that utters these syllables, come in. Come in. Mary treasured these things in her heart. There is seeking and there is finding. Finding the child, finding the warm bed, finding the assurance that no, it won't be perfect. Indeed, there will be pain and trouble, for Christmas leads to Easter only through the preceding Friday. But the assurance nonetheless, that love is real and present, that something that matters is happening here, and filled with the spirit of love, the spirit of God, the spirit of hope, she treasured these things in her heart. She knew. St. Augustine said, Lord, I was restless until I found rest in you. We search. But if we stop, we open ourselves to love, we will find that we are already home. This is universalism, friends, that we are already enough. Our task is to share that with the world. The poet Araya Mountain Dreamer put it this way, remember what you are and let this knowing take you home. There's nowhere to go. What you're looking for is right here. Open the fist clenched in wanting and see what you already hold in your hand. There's no waiting for something to happen. No point in the future to get to. You are wearing yourself out with all this searching. Come home and rest. We've arrived. It's Christmas Eve. Come home and rest. Wherever you are, near to home or far away, surrounded by company or all by yourself, happy or sad or both at once, you are home in this universe, in the embrace of the holy. You don't have to understand it. It's okay. Come home and rest. Hear the voice. Come in. Of course, we'll keep searching. We'll keep trying to live our best life and make the world better. Of course we will. But for right now, and for some time each and every day, just be still. Come into the presence of love. Hold your breath. Then breathe slowly, like the animals in the manger do. Like a new mother or father holding their child while the child sleeps upon them, breathes slowly, the rise and fall and rise again of air in the lungs. Come in and be at rest. You don't have to understand, it's okay. But know that you are welcomed in the kingdom of love, a a place is prepared. Come in. Our story continues. The Magi, the wise men, come searching, and they find. And they kneel down and offer gifts and are still and listen and, warned in a dream, adjust their plans. From the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we've come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they sent out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. We're going to sing together, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear." This song was written by the Unitarian minister William Sears. It was written at the beginning of the Mexican-American War and at Christmas, a song of peace for his time and for ours. Let us rise in body or spirit.
Thank you.
seated. A 100 years ago, on this night and through tomorrow, the British and German armies dug into their trenches, had a truce. 100 years ago today. They came out the trenches and nobody fired on each other. They exchanged gifts, mostly cigarettes, shook hands, played football, soccer to us Yanks. They sang carols. They sang carols. For the day, for that day, in places from the North Sea to the Swiss border, they were human beings first and soldiers second. It was risky. And the first ones who came out of the trench took the biggest risk. What if they fire? But mostly it held for the day. And we now celebrate this. We get into encampments in our society, dug into our trenches, us versus them, either you're with us or against us, liberal versus conservative, Christian versus Muslim, protester versus police, or more intimately, we have our grudges and wounds and divisions. What was joined is apart, and we hold in our stance. But sometimes we put down arms and cross into the supposed no man's land and shake hands and play and sing together. Peace on earth, goodwill to all, we sing. The blessed angels sing too, yet with the woes of sin and strife, 2,000 years of wrong. The higher-ups were furious. No truces, they said, the generals and the politicos. War doesn't work if you don't hate each other. If you see the other as a human being, maybe you won't pull the trigger, fire the gas canister, rise and charge and die in the mud for empire and conquest. No Christmas truces, they said. And in 1915, there were only a few. In 1916, none at all. And the war ground on. Millions lost for what? No great evil was at stake in the first war, just politics and empire. For lo, the days are hastening on by prophet bards foretold when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling, and all the world give back the song which now the angels sing. Warned in a dream, they return by another route. Have we not been warned in our dreams? Have we not known in our hearts that all people are worthy of love, that every life is sacred, no matter the color of their uniform or the color of their skin? Have we not known that every night a child is born is a holy night? Have we not dreamed of peace in every land? Is that not what Christmas is here to call us towards? Is that not what the babe in the manger and the shepherds and the innkeeper and his daughter and the animals and the angels and the magicians and the young father and the even younger mother treasuring in her heart, is that not what they wish for us today? Peace and goodwill to all. Are we now, some 2,000 years later, to let Herod win the day? To deny our humanity or the humanity of others for the sake of ideology? No. No. Sing with the angels. Sing with the soldiers standing together between holes in the earth. Sing with the singing beauty of the earth itself, the stars in the heavens. Sing peace, sing love, sing joy, sing and rejoice. Come home and rest. You need not see with your own eyes to know what this means, to welcome love into your life and share that love with the world, to seek peace for all people everywhere, Come home and rest, for you are loved. Be at peace in yourself. Stop your searching. Be home in the embrace of a love wider than we can know. Sing peace, be peace. Sing love, be love. And let us pray. I invite you into the spirit of prayer and meditation. Great Spirit of life and love, wondrous power of many names, be with us, young and old and in between, wherever we are, whomever we are. We have different words and names for all that is holy and good. We live different lives. Bring us together on this night with those here in this room and those near and far across the world. May the divisions we create between us fall apart. May love prevail in heaven and earth. May that spirit of the newborn child live in us, the spirit of possibility, of promise. May we treasure in our hearts all that is worthy of our love, peace and justice, the person before us as they are. May we sing songs of peace and love and hope this day, this night, and every night, that the spirit of this day and this night may live in us for all time to come. Spirit of life and love, be a comfort to those who need healing. Sing with joy with those who are enraptured. Be with us as we wander through this world. Amen. We enter now the dark, as it is dark outside, so it is dark in here. Let us sit first in the dark, in the quiet of this majestic night. Open your heart now. Breathe the stable's air, the cold wind. In the dark, find the center of your being. It is worthy and holy. You are worthy and holy. You too are a child of God. You're worthy of an open heart. Open it. Let the holy in. Let us be in stillness. And let there be light, hope. The sun returns to the north. Christmas comes into our hearts. Generosity exceeds our expectations. Christmas is not what we have. It's not what we take. It's how we live. It's how we give and how we love. The light returns. The darkness is lit through the holy flame of each person, each our own individual light, passed from one to another. So I invite you to take from your neighbor the flame, to pass it along the row. when all the candles are lit, we will sing together from your seats, Silent Night.
Thank you.
when the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers and sisters, to make music in the heart. Go in peace. Go in peace. Go in peace.